Bible said, if we see a need, praise God, hallelujah, we need to do something about that need, praise God. God, Jesus saw that man needed a breakthrough. He saw that man was possessed, hallelujah, hallelujah, against his will. Glory to God. He saw that man, hallelujah, wanted to be free. Glory to God. So he called out, hallelujah. Somebody said, well, how you know the man wanted to be free? How did you know? How do you know Jesus saw him in that light? Well, as we continue to read, hallelujah, in the scripture, we found Jesus telling him once, hallelujah, he was broken free. We found Jesus telling him, go and tell your friends.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So something in him, hallelujah, had to already know about freedom, glory to God, and still desire freedom because Jesus told him to go and talk to your friends. So you don't have friends unless you spend some time with them, hallelujah, before now. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So anyway, Jesus is commanding the spirits to come out of this man. Glory to God. And he asked them their name. Well, hallelujah. He speaks the name of Jesus prior. He says, what have I to do with you? Jesus. He speaks Jesus' name. This way I want to slow down and show you something here. He speaks Jesus' name, thou son of the most high God. What have I to do with thee? Jesus, thou son of the most high God. Well, hallelujah. We've been taught in the circles that I've been in, hallelujah, we've been taught that we need to know the name of the demon. Well, because Jesus asked the name of the demon. No, we don't need to know the name of the demon to cast him out. But this is the conversation between Jesus and this man with the legion. It's happening because of the superstition that's in that region. They believed that if you know the name, then you are the one that's in charge, or you are the one that can take control because you can speak the name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, amen. He said, well, what's your name? And he says, Legion. Well, Legion is really not the name. Legion is a description of how many there are there, because this spirit is trying to intimidate Jesus, hallelujah, and cause himself to be in control over Jesus. Y'all don't want to hear this, but amen. It's the truth anyway. They had a superstition. And so Jesus wanted to let him see, amen, that your superstition don't have no power over me. Your superstition doesn't work, hallelujah, when it comes to Jesus. Praise God. Your superstition, glory to God, will not be carried out. I'm about to show you something. And praise God. Hallelujah. And it says he besought him. Well, if he was begging Jesus, then he recognized the fact that, hallelujah, he didn't have control anymore. Come on, somebody. Amen. That Jesus was in charge. And so he besought Jesus, hallelujah, to not send him out of the country, hallelujah, but into a herd of swine that was near. Glory to God. But I want to go to the scripture that says that he was crying. He was crying and cutting himself. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's what this demon was making him do. He was crying and cutting himself. Now, what God wants us to hear today is that, hallelujah, the land around us as the church of God, the people around us as the church of God are crying out.
Yes,
they
yes.
are crying out like a lamenting virgin for her husband. This man was crying out because he was being tormented. He was crying out because, hallelujah, he was not able to serve his purpose. He was crying out. You know, when we can't serve our purpose, we feel useless. We feel devalued. We feel like nothing. Hallelujah, glory to God. When we don't have our purpose to be served in our life, praise God, we are in a place where we just give up. And when we give up, then the enemy has, hallelujah, been given some power in our life to step in and start taking control over our life. And so this man needs to be able to serve his purpose. He needs to be able to fully praise and worship God. He needs to be freed, hallelujah, from these demons that are stopping him from serving his purpose. We need to be an oasis, praise God, like Jesus was in this man's life. He is in a place of desolation. He is in a place of dryness. He is in a place where he's not reproducing anything, hallelujah, when it comes to the things of God. He's in a place where everything, glory to God, is hard, praise God, and lacking, glory to God, in his life. And so here is Jesus, hallelujah, in his life as an oasis. An oasis is a place, glory to God, where you find water, where you find drink. A place in the midst of a desert, a dry place, glory to God. An oasis is a place where you find rest, glory to God. And a place, hallelujah, of fertility, a place that produces growth in abundance. Come on, somebody. That man needed refreshing. That man needed a rest from the torment of these demons. That man needed a safe place of refuge. Hallelujah. He needed an oasis in his life. That man needed a place of reproduction, a place that would give him the ability to grow in abundance in the Lord. My God, hallelujah. It's time for us as the church of Jesus Christ to be an oasis, to be that place that the people can run to like he ran to Jesus, to be that place, glory to God, where we're not afraid, hallelujah, of deliverance. We're not afraid of seeing people, hallelujah, demons be cast away from people, bondage be broken away from people. My God, hallelujah, he didn't want to be bound up. My God, hallelujah, he didn't want to be in a place where he was not free. Glory to God. But the Bible says that after he met Jesus, my God, hallelujah, something happened in his life. Something happened to cause him to be brought out of his hiding place in the mountains, to be brought out of his place of bondage. My God, hallelujah, of cutting himself and destroying himself. The Bible says that he, glory to God, was transformed into a new man. Somebody say that the man that was possessed with the devil did not look like what he had been through. Come on, somebody. He had a complete change. And when the people went out that was with the swine and told the rest of the city, and told the rest of the country what had happened, they came running to see, glory to God, the transformation. Hallelujah. I just want you to remember these four things. Hallelujah, that he was brought out. We're here to bring the people out of their bondage. Yes, he was brought out of this bondage. The second thing I want you to know, he received salvation. He received Jesus. So that's the second thing we need to be working on, to see that the people, when they come out of bondage, that they receive, hallelujah, salvation. They receive Jesus Christ, the Savior. And then the Bible says, hallelujah, when he came out, he ended up being transformed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he sat down. He wasn't running around like a wild man anymore. He wasn't running around cutting himself anymore. The people came in and found him sitting. Hallelujah. They need to get settled. They need to find somewhere to have a seat. They need to find somewhere to sit down and receive the teachings of God, and receive the discipline of the word, and receive what it takes, hallelujah, to be civil in this hour concerning the kingdom of God. Those are the things I want you to remember. Bring them out of bondage. Save their souls, hallelujah. Give salvation to them. And number three, get them settled and transformed. Glory to God. They need teaching. They need the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They need the good news. They need to know how the kingdom is supposed to be. They need to know how their life is supposed to be walked through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But there were those that came into that area that saw what Jesus had done, and they were afraid, hallelujah, and they begged Jesus to leave that country. But I'm here to encourage you today, hallelujah, when you see the power of God in operation, don't be afraid, hallelujah, but open up your mind and your heart and begin to receive, begin to welcome Jesus Christ and his anointing, Jesus Christ and his deliverance, Jesus Christ and his miracles. Begin to receive what God has for you. Welcome him in your heart. Welcome him in your mind. Welcome him in your body. Welcome his healing. Welcome his salvation. Welcome him. My God, hallelujah. But I tell you what Jesus did. He didn't stay. He left. Don't reject him. Because he's knocking at your door. Open up the door and let him in. Deliverance is not to be feared. And remember that today is another day of miracles. God bless you.
Your power when pressure comes, I must soak up your spirit like a sponge to release your power when pressure.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river I wanna live in. It's the river of God. There's a river.
Nation. It's that time again, and we are really glad to be right here with you on Living the Good Life. And we have been rushing around here taking pictures with the McKays right before our show. Let me get you on the... Okay, Dr. Angel, is that you?
That's me.
I guess get the hiccups. Talk about what we just did.
We were just taking pictures with the McKays so that we are going to have that joint service coming up in 2 Sundays, and I'm so excited. It's going to be such a blessed day.
It's going to be wild. Explain that, because I got to get something out of my briefcase. Go right ahead.
Sure. We are celebrating Beacon of Hope. Our ministry is celebrating 18 years of being a ministry, and so we are doing a joint service with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's just going to be an amazing or anointed, powerful, spirit-filled day of ministry and celebrating God together.
Woo! And it's going to be the first time we do this with Dr. and Mrs. Welp, Apostle and Bishop. I got to get it right, the McKays. And we love them so much, and we've grown to be friends through the years of us having back-to-back shows here at WTAN. They were with us clear at the very beginning, then they took a break from radio, and then they come back. But in the last season that we've all been having back-to-back shows, we've just grown to love them so much and appreciate their ministry to Truth Talk, which is on right before this show every Sunday afternoon right here on TAN Talk Network. And so as it developed, we began to think we'd love to worship with them. And so we have invited their whole church to our church.
Yes, and I am really excited.
Well, I am too. And we're going to feed everybody that day. They're not to bring any food. So any Truth Talk listeners, you guys are not to bring anything. We got it. We got all these people who love to make things, salads and vegetables. We're going to have chicken. We're going to have ham. We're going to have, you're making... your famous 12-foot-long...
Baked ziti.
Baked ziti. It's really not 12 feet long. Is
no,
that right?
It's really big. I think the last one, it weighed like 30 pounds. So, I mean, it's a lot of food that goes into my...
It took 4 grown men to carry it in, right? No, I don't think it took that many. But we do love your baked ziti, and that is a great crowd pleaser. And we're going to have all kinds of vegetables and fruits and everything, yeah. And desserts and... And it's going to be great.
I'm excited.
Salads, all that. 2 weeks from today, September 29th, will be the 18th anniversary of Beacon of Hope Ministries. We began 18 years ago in my living room on September 29th, and that was when I lived in Tampa, and 2001, right after the 9/11 thing, a couple weeks after that.
Yes.
So it was a really weird time, you know, for people, and that's when we began this ministry, and... so glad we did. And there's been so much that's happened through the years. We've been in different locations. We've been big. We've been small. We've been very, very small. And we've been medium. And we're kind of medium now, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay. We're kind of medium. Certainly not huge by any means. But together with their church and with ours, it's going to be an amazing event. I cannot tell you how excited I am. I do you feel that way too?
Yes, I am. I am extremely excited. It's like almost like I'm looking forward. It's like the countdown to Christmas for me almost.
Isn't it?
Like, yes.
This day is going to be amazing. We're going to be sure and contact some of our Beaconites that have moved away or have maybe they're too far to drive every week, but we really want them to come. So if you're one of those Beaconites, put it on your calendar 2 weeks from today. And if you are not affiliated with either of our churches, tell about that. Would you invite those people, please?
Absolutely. Everyone is welcome to come and attend at our service, our Celebration Sunday. And we are located at 2058 Weaver Park Drive, Clearwater, Florida, 33765. And we start at 10 a.m., so get there and come prepared to just worship with us and break bread with us and share a great meal.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that day that we'll have the coffee pot on that morning and we'll probably have some donuts. We'll probably cut our donuts maybe into smaller pieces so everybody, because we want everybody to have an appetite when it rolls around to be up 12:30 or whenever we're going to eat, right? And then that day, we'll be right back here in the studio at 3 o'clock, like we always are. Yeah, there is something that is so amazingly beautiful about two different congregations coming together. Don't you think, Dr. Angel?
You know, it shows the unity in Christ. And it is beautiful to see that two separate congregations share, that they're united in their faith, they're united in spirit. And, you know, I know our congregation has been praying about this day, I'm sure, and I'm trusting their congregation has been praying. And I just know it's going to be amazing. You know, the top of our door says where healing happens. And, you know, I'm expecting many people to experience the healing as they come into those services.
Well, I totally agree. And I know that Dr. Rebecca and Bishop George would agree with me when I say, bring your aching bodies, bring your problems, because we are going to have prayer of agreement on 2 weeks from today like you've never seen before. For most people, they've probably never seen anything quite like that, because it's going to be some amazing prayer and music that's just going to blow you away. And each of them are going to share for a few minutes. My associate pastor, Pastor Jim, is going to share for a few minutes. I am. And you say, oh my gosh, how many hours of preaching? It's not like that. We'll each take 10 minutes, 15, whatever. But it's really going to be a crazy great day, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it will.
What is the power of unity, Dr. Angel? We've kind of been talking about on our Wednesday night Bible study series that you and I and Pastor Jim are teaching. You want to talk about that power of unity?
Sure. I mean, unity, when we are united, and especially united in spirit, it's like you see the power of God moves. You know, he talks about where two or three are gathered in his name. And unity, that's where the spirit will be. And so bringing two congregations in unity together, I mean, I think it's going to be an amazingly powerful. That's where God shows up and shows out.
And he will. And so you come prepared for a life change. 2 weeks from today, 10 a.m., 2058 Weaver Park Drive. I'll tell you that address again later. I'll give it to you one more time right now. 2058 Weaver Park Drive. It's right off of Hercules between Drew and Sunset Point, if that'll help you with your boundaries there of where it might be. We have a sign over the door that says where healing happens, and we've got the Beacon logo, and we've got you, Dr. Angel, for your practice, and we'll talk more about your practice in a moment. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together. We give you all the glory and the praise for what you're going to get done today on the show. We just so thank you for the McKays and so excited that they and their congregation are coming to join our congregation 2 weeks from today in a mighty, mighty time. Lord, it's with all. We are all in all of your greatness and how you place people together to accomplish your will on this earth. So, Lord, we're excited. And we just pray right now that there will be listeners today who will write that day on their calendar and come and join us and be a part of a mighty move of God. Lord, we thank you for this show that's going to invade our space wherever we each are and work in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, from the bottom of our hearts. Awake my soul. Woo! Wake up. Wake up. Here we go. Awake my soul.
Speak to me. Speak to me. prophesy to these bones and say to them dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe away. To my dry bones, your breath tells death they can ride on. Awake me, make me a living stone, a testament to your throne. I am nothing without you, I'm on my own, the only one who satisfies
Woo!
My soul.
Praise God, you're the only one that satisfies my soul. I love that Chris Tomlin song, Awake My Soul. And I would say to you today, listener, it's time to wake up from whatever it is that's keeping you held down, keeping you held back from all the things that God wants to do in your life. This show today is going to be a game changer. I feel it in my spirit, Dr. Angel. We were supposed to have Betty on with us. She is very ill, and we speak life to her. We speak healing to her lungs and to the bronchial tubes and everything that's going on in Betty's body right now. We speak the name of Jesus over her, that she will be healed quickly. And we'll be able to get back on the air with us very, very soon because we miss her. But I will say, Angel, I feel in my spirit as we began the show today, something is different. We are at a turning point in our ministry in some ways of growth and looking to see what God wants to get done. And it starts with personal development and personal growth. You want to comment on that, Counselor?
It sure does. You know, well, you know, it's about relationship, not religion, you know, when we're with God. And that relationship is, as we grow that personally, you know, we come together in unity, but we're held, you know, accountable to our individual relationship with God. And what are we willing to sacrifice and prioritize to grow that relationship and grow closer and gain more faith and grow stronger spiritually and, you know, more confident spiritually. And that's when we see God showing up and using our lives like never before.
But so many people are content, Dr. Angel, to stay back in the same old life patterns. They are content to say, oh, I just won't go to church today, or I just won't read my Bible, you know, because I've got too much on. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. This show is going to be a show of encouragement to you, listeners. When you feel like life has dealt you a bad blow, when you feel like you don't know where to turn, when you feel like God has abandoned you, perhaps. Maybe friends have abandoned you, and you just don't know what to do. You're our resident counselor. You have your own private practice in the front of our new beautiful building. And so you can relate to this when it comes to people getting, allowing circumstances, life, the devil, people, other people, what they say or what they don't say and whatever, to get to us, right? Talk to us.
Absolutely. In fact, that's probably a top thing that brings people even into the counseling room. They get stuck and they get focused and like fixated on these bad things that have happened or these hurtful things that people have said to them. And they sit and they think about it, which causes them to continue feeling those negative feelings. And then they get themselves defeated over and over, and they're like in this cycle, like this merry-go-round that keeps on going, and until they stop that merry-go-round and do something different, it's not going to get better for them because life is happening while they're dealing with all these past hurts. They're going to have current hurts and things going on too. And so it's easy for people to buy the lies of Satan and to make decisions based on feelings. And we've talked many times of how our feelings are temporary. They change moment by moment, day by day. And we cannot walk by feelings. We have to walk by faith.
But so often, people are not only pulled down by their feelings, but sometimes immobilized, so to speak.
Oh, yes, very much so. And, you know, and that's where they kind of dig their heels in the ground. And when, you know, they feel so hurt and they feel so depressed and they feel so victimized, and they may very well be those things. But here is our power. God has given us this free will, and God has given us the ability to tap in to the throne of grace, to the throne of healing. And he is just as interested in healing our broken heart and healing our wounds and healing those things in our past as he is as healing our physical bodies of the diseases that we might have.
Yes.
And colds and flus. And I think we are unwilling to bring those to the throne and let God pour his healing balm on them.
Absolutely. Jesus said, it was prophesied about Jesus in Isaiah 61 that he would come and that he would heal our hurt and bruised lives. And then you see in Matthew, Jesus says, I came to heal your hurt and bruised lives, right? So how many of us have hurt and bruised lives? And we have choices to make. And the thing is, the devil keeps us stagnant, keeps us weary. He wears us out.
Oh, yes, he does.
With his lies and his thoughts in our heads. And especially when it comes to a disagreement between two people, the devil will absolutely wear you the heck out.
Well, and that's what he's good at. He likes to cause a lot of distractions. And so, you know, he's going to wear us out. And if we allow that to happen, it can take us way off course, make us feel so much worse. And we have to recognize it for what it is. This is a lie. This is a trick of the enemy. This is his goal. If he keeps you defeated, then you aren't growing in Christ. And your ministries are limited to what you can do because you're so defeated all the time that it takes all your energies just to get through another day, just to kind of keep pressing forward as much as you can. And so when we are defeated like that, we're not as effective. And that's where he wants us to be.
Absolutely. For some of you that might be joining us just right now, you can go to YouTube now. Go to the WTAN, that's the call letters of the station. Or I think it comes up as TAN Talk Radio also. And you will see Dr. Angel in there in the studio live because this show is always live. Cannot see me because I am in the control room running all the little machines, but I am here, and I can see Angel through the glass here, which is kind of cool. So I want to get back to this whole point of what the devil's tricks are, but he uses people, and what's so interesting, Angel, is I think he uses well-meaning people a lot of times that are just plain innocent and naive and don't realize they're feeding into the garbage of the enemy by saying discouraging things, by saying, oh, yeah, you poor thing, you're so sick, instead of saying, you know what, Jesus heals people all the time. He can do this in your life. Or, oh, you poor thing, you lost a job, it's terrible, and they call 59 friends, oh, so-and-so lost their job. You know what I'm saying? Just
sure.
That feeding into the reality, and some people say, well, that's just reality. He did lose his job, or she did lose her job, or that relationship did break up, or they are getting a divorce. Yes, but what about finishing that reality with, but God?
Exactly, and because that's where the hope is, the but God part. You know, a lot of times we leave that part out, and I think for some people it's that they're working on building their own faith, and maybe they aren't quite at the but God level and maybe know how to take other people's concerns. And, you know, we've done this whole show on our other show, Go Yard, about, you know, what we should share with people. And sometimes it happens even in our spiritual world that we do have these good meaning people, and maybe we share a concern or a hurt, and then it doesn't stay a secret, or they share out of concern and love. It's not to hurt us, but our feelings get hurt, or we feel betrayed, or we feel, you know, and it compacts that for us. And then we feel like, oh my gosh, like all this bad is out there, and where's the good, and who can I trust? And, you know, and it causes chaos.
Causes chaos. I want to start today with 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Never got to that verse this morning as I was preaching. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, "So speak encouraging words to one another." There is a word that begins with E in that phrase, and it's extremely important. So speak encouraging words to one another. That word is encouraging, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great adjective right there. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out. No one left behind. I love that verse. It came alive to me this week as I was preparing for this show and for the sermon this morning. Never got to it in the sermon. I'm going to say it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left behind. No one left out. No one left behind. Talk to us, Angel.
Well, and that's just it. You know, our words, you know, we talked about this Wednesday in Bible study, the power of our words, and our words can give life. Our words can cause harm and hurt and really destroy people. And I don't know that we're always thinking about that, but if we are always trying to think of ways to encourage and build each other up, then that's what we'll be doing. We'll be, you know, planting the seeds of truth, and we'll be spreading that faith. And I think we don't do that. I think sometimes we don't do that because we have our own hurts and our own insecurities that get in the way. And if I'm building someone else up, then maybe I feel worse about who I am. But we have to stop. We have to know who we are in Christ.
Amen.
Because once you really get who you are in Him, you want everyone else to get who they are in Him. And we want to build and encourage, and we want to help them find the positive and find the good and keep pressing towards the mark and victory, you know, and victory.
Amen. And we're teaching that on Wednesday nights. You, me, and Pastor Jim, the series is, it's on the book of Ephesians. And it is our identity, our inheritance, how to behave, how to walk in victory against the enemy. That's what we're teaching Wednesday nights at 6:30. You're welcome to join us in our building every Wednesday night. I love this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So speak, it does not say depressing words.
Right.
It does not say realistic words. It does not say gossipy words.
Right.
It doesn't say downer words. Remember Debbie Downer on Night Live?
Yes.
So speak encouraging words. The word encouraging has everything to do with building somebody up.
Yes.
That it means edification, which means to build something too. To erect a building is to edify, to bring up, build somebody up. That's what it means.
No, and I love that. I love that you use the building analogy, because when we're building a building, the taller the building is, the deeper the footings have to be to hold that building, right?
That's good. That'll
so
preach.
That foundation, the more we can place that foundation and get, you know, building that person, they can soar in Christ. And the more that, you know, God is using those lives, and it's building each other up. So, and if that foundation is in Christ of where we started, we can just keep encouraging and building. And it doesn't mean because I'm encouraging you that I'm taking away, you know, I'm less than. We have to work on those hurts of our identity in the past and set them aside, because I think they are causing so much dissension between the brothers and sisters in Christ and all over the world. And we have to be willing to say, I want my brother and sister to do good. I want them to, you know, be victorious. I want them to be encouraged and built up. I want them to be strong, because when they're strong, then, you know, there's going to be a time I might need to lean on my sister's or brother's strength to help me when I'm feeling weak, and they can build me back up. And
exactly. So it's so important that if somebody comes to you with a word of gossip, we kind of talked about this last week, or a word that is hurtful to somebody, that you stop it.
Right.
And you say, let's talk about something encouraging. Now, there are facts. We talk about facts. This is happening. How can we best help this person? And we can discuss the facts concerning that. But it's so important that we are building on the foundation, how to get stronger, how to, the word says that we are building on the foundation, Jesus, the rock, the cornerstone. He's our rock. He's our the cornerstone of what we're building. Everything has to do with God. It's, if we're not teaching the word, what are we doing? Just teaching ideas that somebody had? What are we doing? It's so important that we build on the foundation, the word of God.
Absolutely, because the word of God is truth. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but in our culture, especially in the times that we're living, we are fed so many lies. You know, we're fed lies through media and through all kinds of stuff. Every day we're fed some kind of lies that we don't measure up. We're not good enough. We're not this. We're not that. We're whatever you want to put in the line. You know, we don't have X, Y, Z, we're missing. And that's the lies. And that's what we are believing in. We're taking in. So if we are not feeding truth,
right,
then those lies are going to make us start thinking and feeling and behaving in those lies. What we feed grows. What we starve dies.
Absolutely correct. And we've got to take these basic principles in the Word of God and apply them to our lives and build the foundation of our spiritual lives, our emotional lives, our friendships, everything based on that cornerstone, Jesus, based on the truth of God's word.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? When we base our thinking on what might happen, what if this happens? Ah, you're not going to be victorious.
No.
If you build your thought life on what so-and-so did to you, you wouldn't believe what they did. Rah, 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 rah. If that's what you build it on, that's not a solid rock. It's not Christ Jesus, right? If you build it on depression, I'm so depressed. I'm just so sad. Nothing's going on good for me. If you build your day around depression, anxiety, fear, all those things, what's going to happen?
Well, you're going to feel depressed and anxious and worried, and you're not going to be a person that's victorious, and you're not going to be a person that, you know, has a lot to give to other people. Your relationships are going to suffer. Your human ones, your spiritual relationship is going to take a hit because you're going to feel defeated and you're going to feel buried and you're going to feel like you're just, it takes everything you have to just get moment through moment to survive.
Right. And that's not where God wants us.
Not at all.
I'm going to throw a scripture at you, and then I'm going to put a song on that is this scripture. It's Nehemiah 8:10. What? You're shaking your head.
For the joy of the Lord is our strength.
And you knew that.
I do.
And you did not have a cheat sheet.
I do not.
Because we don't have a script.
No, we do not.
Because we have no idea where we're going. I heard somebody say a long time ago, a guy that preached in my church way back in the early days, and he goes, "We may not know where we're going, but we're not lost because we're here."
Exactly.
Which I love. We're not lost. We don't need a map. We're here.
We're
right here.
Here.
And we've got God's word. And in Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Why is that important?
Because we need strength. I mean, this world batters us down. Our life batters us down. And that strength comes in the joy of the Lord.
Woo! Ren Collective. Yeah, I love this song. It's a new one. Well, not real new, but it's new.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. Though the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When I cannot see you with my eyes, the faith arises. When I
presence now. I come alive. I am alive with you. There is strength when I say I will praise you, Lord. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the dark.
The shadows I'll sing. Are there going to be times in your life where it's going to seem pretty dark and then that you're going through difficult times, Dr. Angel?
Yes, we all have those seasons.
Mm-hmm. We're going to 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to talk about what I talked about this morning for a little while in the show, but there were several of our Beacon people who could not be there today, and other listeners, of course, didn't hear it. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, 1 Samuel 30, is when David comes up against a really difficult, dark moment in his life. And, you know, I love that song we just played, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength," because we all have difficult, dark moments from time to time. Sometimes it seems like a whole season of it. Sometimes it can be years of it. It just seems like difficult times. Some of you out there right now may be feeling some really huge financial struggles, or maybe you've lost a job, or maybe you're getting a divorce, or maybe you have a child that's doing drugs and you don't know what to do. There can be so many situations in our lives. David had a situation. He had a town that he had founded. Its name was Ziklag, Z-I-K-L-A-G. He had his wives, two of them, and his children lived there. He had his soldiers that were at least 600 of them and probably more soldiers that lived there. They all had wives, families, kids. It was a city, the city of Ziklag. And they had an enemy. They were the Amorites. I'm sorry, the Amalekites. The Amalekites were descendants of Esau, and they were, that word talks about being in our flesh. And they were out to get David's family. They were out to get his city. They were out to destroy him because David had come against them, right? And vice versa, back and forth. So what they did in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, is they tear Ziklag to pieces when David and the soldiers are out. They're gone doing another battle. And then they burned it all down. They captured all the women. I'm in verse 2 or so of 1 Samuel 30, if you're just now joining us, young and old. They didn't kill anyone. That's a miracle right there. But they drove them like a herd of cattle. They took all the people, all the women, all the kids, and whatever men were still, probably the older people, they took them all. And by the time David and his men entered the village, it had been burned to the ground. And their wives, sons, and daughters were all taken prisoners. Now, you think you've had a bad day? How would you like to have that bad day if you were David?
That's a very, very bad day.
I mean, you look at the hurricane damage to the Bahamas and also to Puerto Rico a couple of years ago and all the different things, and you look at the devastation, and it's just like this horrible, horrible nightmare. But taking all of the inhabitants, this had to be a catastrophic event, horrendous. I mean, the hurricanes we're having are horrible. But, I mean, this, I mean, the whole city's burned down. Everybody's right. Gone.
Gone.
How it's huge is that?
The Angel? Loss and the devastation. I mean, it's unimaginable. I mean, you're right. When we look at, I mean, the closest thing I think we have to even try and think about it, some of that hurricane damage where it's been flattened. And even yet, all that technology we have today to, you know,
get
at least try and rebuild.
Yeah.
And, in, you know, and I was just in Dominican Republic not that long ago, about 6 months ago, and there are still areas that do not have power from a storm that happened 2 years ago. And now think about this time period with that devastation in the, you know, the physical realm. Oh my gosh, imagine your city flattened, but then all the people you love, all the people you're protecting,
your wives,
all you're
your
responsible
children.
For, yeah, they're gone.
They're gone.
Just gone.
Yeah.
And the worry and all the thoughts that's got to run through his head.
And on our worst days, we haven't had that to come home to, right?
Exactly.
In verse 4, David and his men burst out in a loud wails. In loud wails, they wept and wept until they were exhausted with weeping. Crying can just wear you out.
Yes, it can.
Right? And David's two wives, because they did that back then, and I can never pronounce the name of the first one. I don't know. Ahinam and Abigail, widow of Nabal. They were taken prisoner along with all the rest and all their kids. And suddenly, David was even worse trouble because there was talk among the men, bitter over the loss of their families, of stoning him. So talk about that, Angel. I mean, it's bad enough if you've lost everything yourself. And then if somebody comes and points a finger at you and said, this is all your fault.
Yeah, they gave him all the
blame. So I'm going to kill you. We're going to kill you.
They gave, I mean, not only is he has this horrific internal pain, like horrific, I mean, weeping and weeping. Now, let's think about this is men. This is a king, you know, this horrific pain that he must have felt. And now they're giving him the responsibility, giving him the blame as a single person. I mean, the betrayal he must have felt. Like, I'm sure these people with him were people he trusted, people he's worked alongside. And now just like that, just in the snap of a finger, they're willing to pretty much betray him and turn on him.
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about a horrendous situation here. It's right here for us to look at. David has a choice. He can cover himself up in his bed. Have you ever known people that have done that when they've had something terrible happen to them? They go to bed. I've known people in my years of pastoring that actually went to bed with all their clothes on, including their shoes.
Wow.
And yeah. I had to deal with that with someone. And cover themselves up, and they're not coming out.
Wow.
Because they're in such anguish over something, right? Grief, anger, devastation, disappointment, financial ruin, bankruptcy. There's all kinds of things that people go through that can cause them to want to get in their bed with their shoes on and all their clothes, cover their heads up, and act like nothing is ever happening again. Right, Angel? Mm-hmm. And you, as a therapist, you're a PhD licensed mental health counselor. You know, you've seen all kinds of people in their devastation and in their moments of despair.
Absolutely. And despair can look like a lot of things. You're right. It can be very crippling. Very, very crippling.
But look what David did. In verse 6, if you're following along in 1 Samuel chapter 30 with us, David strengthened himself with trust in his God. That'll preach.
You know, and I love that it uses trust in his God, his personal relationship with God. It wasn't that he just strengthened himself with trust in God, but it was his God. And he knew who his God was because he spends time with his God and he praises to his God and he prays to his God. And he, you know, he's built that relationship and continues to grow it.
I love it. And David strengthens himself with trust in his God. You say, well, how do you do that on a practical basis? You get in your Bible. And you start reading. And one of the best things that's happened to me in all the years of my life as being a pastor and a mother and a grandmother and all this is that I've learned to go to the Psalms. Because the Psalms are the songs of David. David wrote them. Psalm 3, "You're my glory and the lifter of my head," was written when his own son, Absalom, was chasing him down to kill him and take over as king of Israel. And David wrote these songs, "You're my glory and the lifter of my head." Who's he writing that to? God Almighty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so David strengthens himself in the Lord, in his trust in God. And I believe he probably had a lot of these songs memorized, and he would sing them and remind himself. You know, we have a lot of this, like that one, Psalm 3. We sing it from time to time at church.
Yes.
"You're my glory and the lifter of my head." There's another one we sing, or used to sing a lot, Psalm 25. It's talking, "Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my voice. I lift myself, I lift up what I say. I lift it up to you." David strengthened himself in the Lord, and then he asked the high priest to come and talk to him and bring the ephod, and that's another story. We won't talk about that right now. He wanted to consult God. The point I want you to get is, as David is strengthening himself in God, he remembers that he needs to ask God what to do next.
Well, and you know, and I love that he takes it to God. You know, so often when we get ourselves in a lot of, we're hurting, or there's a lot going on, or chaos around us, and we're not sure what to do, where do we go? We go to, you know, 25 of our closest friends. We take it to social media. Oh, I don't know what to do. And we're taking all these human advice that really may or may not be helpful for us.
Absolutely.
He took it straight to the throne.
Woo!
Straight to the throne to get the answers from the one who has the answers.
And he says in verse 8 of 1 Samuel 30, "Then David prayed to God," and here's what he asked God, "Shall I go after these raiders?" That's not the Oakland Raiders. "Can I catch them?" And the answer came, "Go after them. Yes, you'll catch them, and you'll make the rescue. You'll take it all away." I love the fact that God hears our prayers and that he is so powerful, Angel. He can hear your prayers at the same time he hears mine.
Yes, and I love.
And he doesn't confuse us with each other.
Not at all, because he's all-knowing.
He doesn't give me your answer, vice versa, right?
Exactly. You know, and he, you know, David took it to God. But you know what I found interesting in this is taking it back to this human level. The therapist in me is coming a little bit of alive here.
Go
for
ahead.
A second. So here David was just hurt by these close people that he's had in his life. Here they want to turn on him. They want to stone him. He didn't go to God about this betrayal that he just experienced. He's taken the original problem. How many times do we get sidetracked with what
point.
People around us have done to us,
right,
that we're not even dealing with the root issue that he just had his whole place plummeted and all of his people are gone?
Right.
We just get, oh, can you believe what they just did? And can you believe how they treated me? He didn't go to God. God, can you believe what my confidants just did to me? No.
You know why? Because when we do the second approach and we go, God, why did they do this to me? And I don't know why I'm doing all those voices today, but it makes a point, right?
It does.
Okay, so when we go to God like that, it's all about us.
Yes.
Take that.
It sure is, because we get focused on our feelings and our hurts. And, you know, not that those aren't important things, but it distracts us. That's part of that Satan distracting us from the real issue at hand, which was, you know, this bigger issue of his place getting destroyed. His people are gone. And, you know, he needed to get down to business. And, you know, when we are strengthened in God, I think the more we strengthen, the more we are full of the truth, the more that these little distractions, we can overlook them. Those hurts, we realize it.
It's just temporary.
It's temporary.
Yeah.
We see it for what it is.
Right.
And we know that they were, you're able to see more objective. You know, well, they are my close confidants, and yeah, they're trying to kill me, but they're scared and they don't know what to do. And you see those human feelings, so you can have more, you know, compassion and empathy for what the people around us are responding, instead of getting so hurt and offended all the time. We can see it from their perspective a little bit.
Because we've strengthened ourselves in the Lord.
You were made to be yes. courageous.
And because we're courageous.
Yes.
That's what we got to be, guys.
We can be the generation. redemption that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous.
Amen.
We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away.
This song, Casting Crowns, amazing group. The only way we'll ever stand. Is on our knees with lifted hands. What's that mean, Dr. Angel?
That means how we stand is by going to God and strengthening ourselves in the joy of the Lord.
David did this. It's
exactly
right
it
here.
Did.
We're in our series, Becoming Disciples. This is part 6 of it. I don't know how long it's going, but I'll tell you right now. One of the things that disciples must learn to do is encourage others. Encourage weary people. Strengthen them. David did that, and he did it. He started with himself. Sometimes you got to start with yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. And as that song says, the only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands.
Well, that's where our strength comes from. When we get on our knees with lifted hands, that means we are seeking God. That means we are spending time with Him. We are growing with Him, and we are finding that strength in Him. You know, we can't give what we do not have.
There you go.
And that strength comes from putting that time in with Him. And, you know, I feel like a lot of times we don't do that. When life is going great, we don't feel like, oh, well, life is good. We just are doing our thing, going on vacations, playing with this, and we're not thinking about building our spiritual life as much.
Right.
And then something happens.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now we have this new focus on God. But, you know, you got to build that relationship all the time.
And you got to do it consistently.
Yes.
Right? I've had people say to me through the years in ministry, well, I want to be a leader in your church. I want to be one of those that people call when they have a need. I want to be a deacon, or I want to be an elder, or I want to be this, I want to be that. I want to be a minister of music. I want to be a minister, youth minister. I've gone through all this for 30-some, 40 years of pastoral ministry. And I can tell you, people, whether that's at Beacon of Hope or someplace else, here's what God expects of you. Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Courage. Steadfastness in the word of God. You know, the scripture talks about being faithful in just a little few things.
Yes.
And God will promote you.
You know, having an open and willing heart, you know, that's very important when we are growing with Christ. And being, you know, that person of character, that person yeah. who's walking in, you know, the fruit of the Spirit.
And not giving up, perseverance. Right. And we got to make this point before we get to the top of the hour. David went with his 600 guys. They arrived at a brook called Bezor, which means cheerful, Pastor Jim said today, where some of them dropped out. Some of them probably were pretty happy they didn't have to go on and fight this battle, right?
Yes.
The word says David and 400 men kept up the pursuit, but 200 of them were too tired, too fatigued to cross the brook Bezor, and they stayed there.
Wow, that's a lot of them.
Churches are full of people that are tired and fatigued.
Yeah, they're tired.
They just don't want to get, I got to get there at church. I got to get there. I got to be faithful. I got to talk to people. I don't want to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. I got to read my Bible. I don't want to read my Bible. I got to stand up and worship God and pray and praise time. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, they are.
200. That's a third
yes.
of the people. Stay behind.
And I don't believe these were just ordinary people.
No,
I
mean, these were soldiers.
These were people that
these were soldiers.
Walked with him.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, look, Jesus said the night he was betrayed by Judas, he said, before that rooster crows three times to Peter, you're going to betray me three
right.
times. You know, whoa, crazy, right?
Sure is.
Because God knows our character. Our human nature is... we give up before we win the battle.
Yes.
That's human nature.
It sure is.
Because it is influenced by the thoughts and the pressure of the devil coming at our minds, telling us, oh, you don't really need to do that. You don't really want to read your Bible today, do you? Wouldn't you rather go catch up on that series on Netflix? Nothing wrong with Netflix. I love Netflix.
Sure.
But I make sure if I'm going to sit down and watch a bunch of Netflix that I've done what I need to be doing first in the Word and strengthening myself and praising God and all that, right? And so that's the priority here. These 200, one-third of the soldiers said, oh, we don't want to go on. We're tired. We're tired. I don't want to get out of bed and go to church. I'm tired.
It's my only day to sleep in.
It's my only day.
Yeah. And then we wonder why we're defeated.
And then we wonder why people look at Christians and say, oh, they're hypocrites.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I don't see much dedication out of them. Guys, God is doing a revival. He's wanting to do revival. And I believe in all my heart that it is starting. And I believe that it has to start with the leaders in a congregation. It's been starting in my heart for months. And it has got to filter down to the people, to our listeners on the radio, to our Beaconites, wherever they might be scattered around the United States. It has got to filter down, and you've got to, everyone, even if you are saying, well, I'm not part of your ministry, that's fine. If you're listening, you know, it doesn't matter if you go to our church or not. That doesn't matter at all. What matters is your relationship with Almighty God, right?
Absolutely.
Are you ready for revival on the inside? Are you ready to win a victory? David would not... He did not sit down, Angel, and go, okay, I've lost a third of my guys because they're too tired. I guess we'll turn around and go home.
Yeah, it's impossible. We're going to have to quit. Never mind. Maybe I didn't really hear what I thought I heard from God. You know, we talk ourselves right out of it. Right out of it.
Oh, we do.
Yes,
we
do.
Oh, we so do. And we can't do that.
Not at all.
Because we set ourselves up for defeat.
Yes, we do.
And for those of you out there that you say, wow, I think you're speaking to me. Well, if so, that's just the Holy Spirit, because I don't even know who you are or who's listening. But I will tell you this. God wants you to wake up from your slumber. He wants you to wake up and become everything that he sees that you can be. I've got a daughter, one daughter, and she's going through a lot of difficult problems. And she's faced a lot of problems for most of her life. And she's in a situation right now where she's seeking God again. And I'm getting these letters that are amazing and phone conversations that are amazing. And I hear a difference in her voice. And I declare that she is going to come out of those issues that have always pulled her down. And dear listener, whoever you are out there, if you've got issues, addictions, if you've got something you're enslaved by, God wants to bring you out of it. It can just be depression. It can just be some mental illness. God wants you to come out from the bondage that you have been in, because there's a better way and there's a better life. Talk to us, Angel.
Absolutely, there is. We do not have to accept that bondage as where we have to be. That is a lie that is straight from the pit of hell, because God has come to set the captive free. And if that's a freedom from an addiction, whether it be a chemical addiction, a behavioral addiction, a thought addiction, if it's a mental illness, if it's anxiety, depression, trauma, he has come to set us free, and we can live over and in victorious over those things.
Jesus said in John 10:10, this thief, that's Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. And that word means till it overflows, till you just have all these blessings. We started the service of Beacon today with a Wren Collective song, another one, Counting Every Blessing. I love that, because that's what we need to be doing, counting our blessings. There's an old song we used to sing in Sunday school as I was growing up, a preacher's kid. Counting your blessings one by one. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
That's exactly what we need to be doing, counting our blessings. Because when you're thinking of what God has done and how he has blessed you, you're not thinking of all the negative things around you.
Yeah, you're open to a mighty move of God.
You feel stronger. I feel stronger when I see my blessings. I feel defeated when I see the world going on around me.
When we do the show, I love to do the show, and rarely am I not on, because I make every effort in my week to, this is a priority for me, as is, of course, our services at Beacon, along with my other jobs that I do to earn a living. But I will tell you that when we are here and we are talking like we are today, Angel, this show is very anointed. It can be heard tomorrow on podcast here at Tan Talk Network. You need to go back and listen to it and listen to it again, so that you get these truths down on the inside of you, because God does not want you staying in the same old junk you've been in for a long time. And I'm going to add on to that. Thus saith the Lord.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
All right, our first hour is past and our second hour is beginning. Wow, Angel.
I know, yes. That flew.
Yeah, that. Yeah. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 30 if you're just joining us, and this is Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life. And now, in our 13th year on the air every Sunday on Tan Talk Network, started out April the 17th of 2007, a rough year for me in real estate. Things began to crash, took my parents in, my dad was dying. Rough year when we began this radio station. And as long as my dad lived for the next 6 or 8 months, he never missed one of these shows. He wanted to hear the word of God that was coming out. And for all of us that are perhaps not dying, but we are in all kinds of situations that make us feel like we're going down for the count, you got to get the word in you.
Mm-hmm.
One of my dad's favorite song, and Nathan, our keyboard player, used to play it for Dad in my living room when they would come home for lunch after church before we'd go to radio. And the song was Through It All by Andre Crouch. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Angel, that's what we're saying today.
Yes.
And Dad, you can hear me up there. And you know right now that that's your favorite song. And we just quoted it. Go ahead, talk to us about what it is we're trying to accomplish here on this show today.
Well, you know, we want our listeners to live that victorious life. We want our listeners to be growing and to be nourished in their faith, because that's where God wants us to be. And we want our listeners to stop accepting defeat and compromise and all these other situations going around them as, oh, that's just life, or that's how it is, or it doesn't have to be that way. God has come to set us free and to help us live that victorious life, but we have to use our free will.
We
have to decide, I want this, and I want to make it a priority. I want to make it important. I want to set time aside every day, you know, that whole what we feed what grows, what we starve dies. And we, you know, have spent so much time feeding the negativity in the world and the chaos and the hurts and all those things around us. We need to feed the truth.
Yes. The word, thy word is truth.
Absolutely. It
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God is the truth. Got to get the word down on the inside of you, folks, if you're going to grow. If you think you can grow by just going to church once in a while, that's not going to happen. Why not, Dr. Angel?
Well, you know, we had this conversation in Bible study a couple months ago, but it's like eating food. If you ate your food one day a week, your body will not function very well, right? And going to church is where we're nourished and we're fed. But we can't just eat once a week. Actually, we're supposed to eat three times a day. And that's what nourishes our bodies. And when you really talk about people with like diabetes, they should be eating six times a day. So the more we are giving that constant stream of nourishment, the stronger our bodies, the more effectively our bodies work. So what a lot of us Christians are doing is kind of the, I call it the smorgasbord Christianity, where you go to church on Sunday, you get a big, big dose, eat a big meal, and you think it's going to hold you out for the whole week, and it doesn't.
It doesn't, because life happens, and it can happen on your way home from church and get a fight with your spouse or whatever, and suddenly you're mad and depressed, and you don't want to, you know, do anything but curl up and feel sorry for yourself.
Right. But because what happens, I think, is we start measuring ourselves against other people. Well, at least I go to church. My neighbor's not even going to church. And we got to stop looking at what others around us are doing or are not doing. And we need to say, this is what I want. I want to know, I want the joy of the Lord to be my strength. I want to walk in the truth of who I am in him, who he is in me, and I want to live victorious.
All right, let's talk about, before we get to this first song of the second hour, let's talk about these 200 soldiers that sat down by the brook and said, I'm content right here. I don't want to go fight that battle. I'm just going to stay here. I'm tired.
Yes. And it happens. There are people that they are just tired. They're weak. They're weary. They don't have the energy or the strength or the faith to continue fighting those battles. And you don't see David here beating them up going, what do you mean you're not going to go fight? What's wrong? You need to go. I don't care. What are you talking about? You don't see him putting people where they know they're not ready to be.
Right. Right. He just goes on with the 400 that are ready.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
It's what I've been doing for years, Angel. I mean, if I could have every single person who's ever sat under the ministry of Beacon of Hope or in my church in Indiana, you know, and they were all in one place, that would be a glorious. It'll be heaven. But you can't make people do what they don't want to do.
No, you can't guilt them. You can't condemn them. You can't push them, because they're not ready. They're not ready.
Good point. Point well taken. Let's go on to the next point before we do this song. If you know in your heart, like the other 400 did and David, that they could go and they could fight this battle, God gave them a sign right here that I love. And they, as they started towards the battlefront, they ran across an Egyptian slave who had been abandoned by his master because he was sick. Satan will put all kinds of stuff on you. And of course, he's not going to care if you get sicker and sicker and die. That's what he wants.
Exactly.
For you. Right?
That's what he's here for. Right, take it down.
But David and his men run across this guy. We're going to talk about him in just a moment. This song is a Danny Gokey song. It's probably one of my favorite songs, and I have so many now that it's crazy. but this one is amazing. Impossible Things. You love this song, too.
Captive free, you lift the head. though I walk through the valley, darkness surrounding me, there you prepare a table, in the presence of my enemies, yeah, there is no healer like the Lord.
God, even now, you're lifting me.